Welcome back. Thursday. And Mitchell Henderson is with us tonight. We're still trying to get everything squared away. This is the final night from losing the program on that Friday 2 weeks ago. That was not easy. I have to reposition three guests, and so it gets tricky. Mitchell has been watching this week, and today, with the dozens of terrorists, Ukrainian terrorists, troops going into Russia proper and attacking two villages, killing at least one person, we're seeing another obvious, intentional effort to force Russia ultimately into a nuclear war. There's no other way to look at it. Hello, Mitchell, and welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Hello.
On Thursday. Yeah.
I noticed that this terrorist attack in Russian soil, the Russians today said that it was directed by American forces. That American intelligence helped them launch this attack, gave them the weapons, the training, and the preparation. They look at this like this was an American attack on Russian civilians. The people went in. They did not kill. They did not attack any logistic targets or military targets. They just went and killed civilians, little kids and stuff. Just cold-blooded. Okay. But yes, they are, we are headed down that road. The last time we were talking about Putin's speech on the 21st, because I think I was on here the 20th the last time or something. But I just want to bring up a few things that Putin said in that speech that people should pay attention to. So, without further ado, let me quote him. This is a quote from Putin. He says, "I want to emphasize the U.S. and NATO are saying outright that their goal is to inflict a strategic defeat on Russia. After this, they are going to tour our defense sites as if nothing is happening." Here he's talking about the START treaty. You see, when this war started, the United States would not allow Russian inspectors to inspect our sites. But the United States demands that, you have to let us inspect your sites. And, they're on nuclear alert. Why would they let American intelligence officials come to their strategic weapons bases and stuff? It's like they're not completely stupid. They're not as stupid as people over here are. Okay, it's like they realize what's going on. Why would they let intelligence officers come at this time? Okay, it's just like we have to realize over here that what we see in the news and what our government officials tell us over there, they know it's lies. We should know it's lies too, but they know for sure it's lies. Okay. To continue with his speech, he says, "One thing that must be clear to everyone, the longer the range of the Western systems that arrive in Ukraine, the further we will be forced to push the threat away from our borders. The Western elite make no secret of their goals, which is, I quote, Russia's strategic defeat." What does this mean? They plan to finish us once and for all. In other words, they plan to grow a local conflict into a global confrontation. This is how we understand it, and we will respond accordingly, because this represents an existential threat to our country. That one paragraph right there, he's signaling that nuclear war is coming. Okay.
It sure is.
He's telling us it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No question. No. And there's still there's absolutely no reversing the course in terms of the U.S., the U.K., and all the others involved with pushing Stoltenberg and his flunkies. They're just absolutely pedal to the metal. They want this soon. They want it to happen, and it's going to happen. They don't care about look, this is war against the mass of humanity, just like the vaccine bioweapon war. It's the same thing. And they're just out to reduce the population of the planet massively.
Well, this war is specifically intended to exterminate Christians and white people. That is the goal of this. Okay. Now, what he said there in that paragraph, keep in mind that just just the other day happened that terrorist attack on Russian soil, and they know that we had everything to do with that. You know, just for the audience, just so you know how they know, okay, it's like it has been in the press here. They have revealed that back in 94 and 99, who is it that supplied arms, fighters, and money to the Chechen rebels? That was a destabilization program that the United States did on Russia, okay? Keep in mind that by the time of the Second Chechen War, we kept piling on. This was a destabilization operation. The Russians know that we paid for the Chechens to fight Russia. They know we did that. They don't have any doubt over it.
No. Do we have markers against us? They know. They keep score. They know everything. We are really, I hate to say this because of the goodness of American people, we are now legitimately the world's Satan. We are. There's no question.
We are. Iran's been saying for years, oh, you're the great Satan. Well, now I can see what they're saying. And they're right. The thing that the terrorist act that the United States perpetrated in Russia that I thought was the most disgusting was that the murder of hundreds of school children, little kids in Beslan, Russia. We did that. They used our tax money to massacre little children. This nightmare. This is what America paid for.
Absolutely.
So then today, this isn't today. I guess when I wrote this, it was today, but it's 7 days ago. Putin reiterated, the West openly declares its intent to completely destroy Russia, threatening Russia's very existence. This is about the very existence of Russia. Okay, because Russia's going to have a hard time in this nuclear war. He's got to prepare his people, okay? Remember at the UN in November, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov openly stated that Russia will use nuclear weapons if faced with an existential threat. It is clear that NATO and the Anglo-Saxon nations intend to destroy Russia, okay? So you have to realize that, when he said that at the UN, the U.S. immediately, the media went in and the government went into a thing. They started saying, oh, well, they're threatening to use nukes in Ukraine. That is not what Lavrov said at the UN. He said to use them against us, okay, not Ukraine, all right? But they didn't want us worrying about it. Because they always do that. They lull us into this thing, and then they're going to do terrible, nasty stuff to us, you know. And they just want us to be clueless about what is going on, okay? They depend on that, as a matter of fact. So another interesting thing is on the 22nd of February, Russian Foreign Ministry called in U.S. Ambassador Lynn Tracy to give her a formal protest note. In it, it said two things. Russia urged the U.S. to remove its service personnel and military equipment from Ukraine. Two, Russia asked the U.S. to stop pumping the Ukrainian army with weapons and encouraging Ukrainian army with weapons and encouraging Ukraine to attack targets within Russia by supplying them with intelligence reports. Okay, just for the general information, a formal protest note is just one step away from an ultimatum. Okay. But I don't think we're going to get an ultimatum, because an ultimatum would show Russia's hand. You have to remember
Russia's...
I don't
think we're going to get an ultimatum either. Thank you for saying it like that. They're just going to do it. And we've been warned.
My God,
we've been warned over and over. I don't know.
At this point, the Russian general staff is worried that the U.S. may launch a preemptive nuclear strike on Russia.
That's right.
Russia may have to launch it preemptively out of fear of this. It is unlikely that Russia would risk giving an ultimatum or even breaking diplomatic relations with Washington, as they believe the USA would immediately launch nuclear weapons on them. They can only win a nuclear war if they shoot first. after the revelations from Angela Merkel and Francois Hollande about how they set up the 2014 Minsk Accords in order to buy Ukraine time to arm against Russia demonstrates to them that the West cannot be trusted. What are you going to talk about with people who lie to you and make false treaties? Okay, the proof that the U.S. and Norway blew up the Nord Stream pipeline and incredulously deny it after saying clearly that we would do it also shows that the West cannot be trusted. The Russian general staff sees the West as delusional, unrealistic, illogical, and impulsive. We keep escalating, and there is no mechanism or channels available to de-escalate. Then you have people like Michael Rubin, a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, a global homo elitist think tank. These are the people that our government listens to. They make policy, not our legislators. And a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, which sets our foreign policy, said the same day that we need to provide Zelensky with nuclear weapons to use against Russia. Maybe this will scare Russia, and maybe it will lead to the end of the United States. Okay. These people, they escalate their rhetoric ahead of escalating their actual
How much
deeds,
more can so. They add? Good point. How much more can Russia escalate the rhetoric? My God, they've been absolutely explicitly clear on what they're going to have to do. They haven't played games. They're telling it straight. And yet,
okay, so,
the American, Western, communist, Bolshevik, Marxist, Zionist, pedophile media is playing games at our expense nonstop.
Oh, that's right. And today, their foreign ministry out and out just said that a nuclear war is coming very fast. They just finally said it's coming. Okay. Now we don't know when we can push the button, and we just look at that as brinkmanship. Okay. We think that they're going to blink. I don't see the Russians blinking. When have they ever blinked? You know, they just don't. So why is the situation so intractable? Well, Ukraine cannot let the Donbass go because Russia, although Russia controls 25% of Ukraine, that 25% contributes to 90% of Ukraine's gross domestic product.
That's right. That's right.
It has almost all of their iron, coal, oil, and gas deposits. But the people are majority Russian, and they have been abused by the puppet government in Kiev for two decades. The Wagner Group only has about 1.5 kilometers to go before they encircle Bakhmut and Donetsk province. Last week, Zelensky gave permission for the civilians in Bakhmut to evacuate west before the Russians occupied the area. There are 60,000 people remaining, and they don't want to leave because they want to be liberated by the Russians. It's hell living under the Zelensky regime.
30,000 troops, maybe more. We don't know. 30 to 40,000 troops, potentially. Troops are in Bakhmut. They've sent a lot of reinforcements in there. And if they get trapped, they'll have only two options. They either have to surrender or die. It's that simple. And if they try to retreat out of there, there's really a corridor that is not controlled by the Wagner musicians. And that corridor is already zeroed in and targeted by probably dozens of Russian heavy artillery. They'll just annihilate them.
Well, north and south of Bakhmut, they have driven salients deep into Ukrainian territory, so that Bakhmut is, for all practical purposes, ready to be encircled. They have two roads now that they can evacuate with. So what Russia is trying to do is they're trying to just expend weapons, artillery and stuff, instead of lives. Okay, so
they're just
going to bomb the place until that people get discouraged. They're going to cut off any reinforcements coming in the future because it's all real close now. But, you know, Zelensky, this is what I find kind of irksome, is Zelensky is saying, no, you cannot give up an inch of Ukrainian soil. You have to stay there.
Right.
Well, an American
general. He is beginning to talk about the possibility of a strategic withdrawal. That's what he's talking about. That's the latest I've seen anyway. But yes, I've heard that same insane rhetoric. They, what does he care? He's a Zionist. He's not a Ukrainian. Come on. Where's his allegiance? To Ukraine and the people?
It's not to Ukraine at all.
No.
Yeah. It's, the thing is, an American general said, he compared it with something else. And I thought, how disingenuous and what a lack of integrity, because he was basically backing what Zelensky was doing by keeping the troops there and stuff. And I called to mind a battle in the same area not that long ago called Stalingrad, where Hitler lost 600,000 troops because he would not withdraw from Stalingrad. And it may have lost him the war by not withdrawing.
I think it did.
So this American general should have compared Zelensky to Stalingrad, Bakhmut to Stalingrad, not any other thing anywhere else, you know. So it was like he's supposed to know more than me about, you know, military history and stuff like that, you would think. But then he just ingenuously ignores the big obvious comparison and pulls some bizarre comparison that really is not a comparison at all. It just shows that he's a sellout also. So anyways, let's get on to the next big important thing that's going, and that's China being dragged into World War III. Okay? So last week, U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken warned China that it would cross a major red line if they supplied Russia with any war material. China noted that America does not respect red lines set by China, like when they did not want Speaker Pelosi to visit Taipei, and we ignored them. The Chinese foreign minister stated clearly that China is a sovereign and independent state and does not take orders from Washington. Then Jens Stoltenberg, Secretary General of NATO, gave China the same threat. European Union Commissioner Ursula von der Leyen gave China the same warning. Rishi Sunak, Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, piled it on also. They should know that China historically hates European and Western colonialism, and they look at NATO as a European colonial enterprise trying to rule the world, and China will never again submit to Western white people barking orders at them. And on February 22nd, 2023, the globalist Tony Blair and Lord Hague made a policy speech. One, the world must get rid of Putin. Two, Putin is the last obstacle to them ushering in the one world order. Three, there is no sign of an actual nuclear escalation. Dmitry Medvedev said Russia will defend itself by any means with any weapons, including the nuclear kind, which sounds like it is a big possibility, but they're trying to tell us, oh, that's not even on the table, a nuclear war. When the enemy keeps saying they'll use nukes, I think there is a possibility. Four, if we give Ukraine more advanced weapons, it can defeat Putin and Putin will surrender. Five, China is the only hope for the new world order. If China obeys the West, then we can quickly have a new world order. Six, the West will be saved by superior technology, but only if we submit to digital ID and people can be tracked and monitored 24/7. So this is what they're thinking, okay? A total police state for us. This is why they need this war. They need this war so they can take all our freedom and liberty away. So the Chinese Foreign Ministry, Wang Yi, on February 24th, he said, and I quote, "The People's Republic of China is ready to join forces with Russia to decisively stand up for national interests and promote mutually beneficial cooperation in all areas. During a virtual meeting at the end of last year, our leaders, Putin and Xi, came up with a plan for further development of bilateral relations. We are ready to join forces with the Russian side in accordance with the high-level agreements to decisively stand up for our national interests and virtues and promote mutually beneficial cooperation in all areas." The news has been abuzz about how fatal to the West Russian-Chinese alliance would be. The last 2 weeks, war rhetoric with China has increased. American politicians are doing everything they can to provoke China. Remember, face to Asian people is very important. If the Chinese Communist Party actually obeyed the West, it would be their end. In other words, we are putting them on the spot by ordering them to not supply weapons to Russia. Okay. As an intelligence expert on Chinese People's Liberation Army told me, China has nukes to stop internal rebellion against the Chinese Communist Party. They never had an intention of starting a nuclear war, but now they're going to have to repurpose those nuclear weapons. Take note that North Korea is more of a Russian ally than a Chinese ally. Kim Jong-un's purges over the past few years was to root out Chinese influence in North Korea. When the North Korea goes to war, they will nuke the United States, Japan, and South Korea, and most likely the Philippines, Australia, and New Zealand. What North Korea knows is that they have no defense against American nuclear weapons, so they have dug in and set up camps and bases in Manchuria so they can absorb the first strike. North Korea has the second largest army in the world in total manpower and the fourth largest in active personnel. North Korea artillery can lay 10,000 rounds per minute on Seoul, South Korea's capital. That's 10,000 rounds per minute.
That'll destroy the city in a couple of hours. Yeah, just amazing. Go ahead.
On top of the 10 armies in the world, just two are on our side, USA and South Korea. Five are allied with Russia. Of the top 10 total force armies in the world, only three are on our side, USA, South Korea, and Taiwan. Most of the North Korean army is next to the DMZ, meaning that we can't nuke it without killing allied troops. This comes from an old Vietnamese thing of grabbing the belt, okay? They learned about our air power and calling our airstrikes artillery strikes. So the communists learned to get as close to the Americans as we can so that we can't use our best weapons on them, okay? So this is a lesson of war that they learned. NATO will have to divide its forces in this war. Wars are won on logistics. The side with interior lines of communication can better sustain its fighting troops. Exterior lines of communication are notoriously vulnerable. Look at a map. Russia, Iran, China, and North Korea all have borders with each other. NATO will have to fight on multiple fronts, European, Middle Eastern, and East Asian fronts. Logistics require supply chains and long, vulnerable lines of communication basically across the Atlantic, Pacific, and Indian Oceans. North Korea has the largest submarine force in the world. They exist to exploit those long lines of communications. In World War II, the submarine force of the United States was only 2% of the Navy, but was responsible for sinking 50% of enemy shipping.
Mitch, okay, go back. I'm not sure if I heard you right. Who has the fourth largest submarine fleet in the world?
Well, let me see.
Go back about a paragraph, maybe.
Let me see. No, North Korea has the largest submarine force in the world.
Now, how can that be?
They have the most submarines.
Really?
They've been buying them. Yeah. Now, these are not nuclear submarines. See, our submarine fleets are basically SLBM. They're for launching ICBMs. Okay, we don't have that many submarines that are out there to sink enemy shipping. And why would we? Because our enemies don't have any shipping. They have interior lines of communication.
North Korea to have the fourth largest sub fleet, but that's very interesting news. Yeah,
no, they have the largest, not the fourth largest. North Korea has the largest submarine fleet, number one in the world.
Wow. All right, I didn't know.
So, for years we have been told that North Korea has the fourth largest active army in the world. They have the second largest total force army, but the fourth largest active service army. They have a lot of reservists. They also have, people don't know this, North Korea has the largest special forces in the world, too. Okay. So, they're all about war with America. That's their thing, you know. So for years, we've been told that the United States had the biggest and best army in the world. We have not reassessed that. In truth, the USA has the third largest army in the world behind China and India. North Korea is fourth. I would say that the current U.S. Army is not the best. I have seen the Guatemalan Army train, and I would rather be with them in a fight than with the U.S. Army, where Roy Dawson has made CRT and DEI the most important goal of the Army. They have taught people of color, feminists, and LGBT people to hate white soldiers. They have to be concerned with the enemy beside them and behind them if they go to war. Yes, they may do well in practice where standards are lowered to give a better outcome, but under the stress of battle, what person of color, feminist, or LGBT person is going to risk their life for a white person? They will not. This army has been created to attack and kill white people, not an overseas army. And guess what? Politically reliable armies have never won a war. Example, prior to 1941, the Red Army was so politically reliable because they got rid of all their best-performing generals. When Hitler invaded, they easily went all the way to Moscow with a little resistance. Stalin had to forget about political correctness and allowed Russian nationalism and Orthodox Christianity to thrive so he could win the war. Fighting for socialism wasn't cutting it. Orthodox priests were released from prison and churches were opened again. Your ability to fight came at a premium, and political correctness was less of a factor in anything. We have a woke army of politically correct sissies. We have kicked out any leader of value that we had. So, you know, these the whole thing is it's all just piling on. Like today, the United States said, "Oh, they're going to give sell all these weapons to Taiwan," and China says, "Well, you know, China's like, well, wait a minute, you tell us we can't sell Russia weapons, and you're selling weapons to an integral part of China. You are interfering with our sovereignty, and you're doing it. We're saying that this is a red line. You give us a red line not to support give weapons to Russia, yet you turn around and give weapons to Taiwan. Who can believe you? What reasoning do you have?" You know, the rest of the world just looks at us like, you know, we're just unreasonable bullies. You know, there is no reason or logic. You cannot reason with the United States. You can't negotiate with them. That is what is going to make nuclear war inevitable, is that inability to negotiate with our country. Okay? I mean, listen, just look at it like this. We had an election in November, and sure enough, the Republicans got the House back, okay? And then what did they do immediately? The first thing they did was those people that we elected, that we wanted to represent us, they voted for Kevin McCarthy, a Zionist and a warmonger, to be the Speaker of the House. And he immediately said, well, I'm going to go to Taipei too. So he's there to make the war happen also, just as bad as Pelosi was. The second thing they did was everybody was tired of Ronna McDaniel running the Republican National Committee. They thought she was doing a terrible job, but those Republicans voted her back into office again. These Republicans do not represent you, America. They do not represent you. They are there to collect your votes and then work against your interests, work against your very existence is what they're working against. Okay? They are not your friends. Okay? And they're not doing anything for you. They will never do anything for you. You know? So we have to kind of keep that in mind. If our government will not listen to the American people, okay, can you see how other countries are feeling about this? Like, well, they don't listen to their own people, and they don't listen to anybody else. You know, America is just trying to rule the world, period. without consent of anybody. And talking about Republicans, so Iran decided to send its Navy on an around-the-world cruise. Okay, it's actually just two ships, a warship and a supply ship for it. Okay, to circumnavigate the world. Okay, so you know we do have freedom of the seas, right? We use that all the time to argue that we should have warships in the Taiwan Strait. Okay, but Iran, for some reason, they can't. Now Iran is friendly with Brazil, and Brazil has no problem with Iran, and so they wanted to dock in Rio de Janeiro. Well, Ted Cruz, Republican Ted Cruz, got very nasty and said, if you let those Iranian ships dock in Rio de Janeiro, we will sanction that port and there will be no ships pulling in there. This is an American Republican senator ordering Brazil what to do.
It's crazy. We've lost it completely here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a friend once tell me that there was this other guy that was my friend. He says, well, if he's your friend, you can't be my friend. I says, well, I don't want a friend who tells me, who picks my friends for me. Okay. If you respect me, if I'm going to be your friend, you have to respect me and you have to respect my decisions. Okay. So if I decide that guy's my friend and you're my friend, if you don't want to be my friend because I'm friends with him, then you're not my friend. Okay. That's just how it works. Okay. So, this is the same thing that the United States is doing. We're telling all these countries in the world, like we told the United Arab Emirates today, this is, you got to stop trading with Russia or we're going to sanction you.
Yeah.
Well, all these countries, a lot of countries will say, well, you know, we respect United Nations sanctions, but we do not respect the unilateral sanctions imposed by the United States.
Right.
So, you know, it's just like we're a pretty nasty customer out there, you know. We're hard to deal with and stuff. So
we're our own worst enemies. If we were playing for peace, if we were trying for peace, if we were really trying to settle the world down, which we're not, we would be running an entirely different kind of game here.
Well, you know, the bottom line is this is a Zionist war. You know, and I've said repeatedly that under Jewish theology, okay, in their prophecy, their Messiah cannot come unless Christians, white people, and Muslims are exterminated.
Read them. Mitch is not making this up. Read it.
It's
in the literature.
No, it's what they say.
Understand, you should read also what Rabbi Schneerson, the founder of Lubavitchers, at the Lubavitch movement. You need to read what he had to say. It's in their own literature. It'll scare the heck out of you. And it should.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And if you just stop and think about it, I mean, I've said things on this program before. Let's just look at it. Their genocide that they're trying to do on white people and Christians and Muslims is basically been going on for a long time, and they will use any and every method. Let me just give you a thing of something I've talked about before. I had sons in the Army, and I had a son in Korea in the Army, and, well, you know, they have to go to these. You know, it's like on white people, there's imposed this, oh, you can't do sexual harassment. You know, if you get accused of sexual harassment, your life is over. Your career is over. Okay. So, but if you're black, you can go out and you can use prostitutes. A white soldier will get a dishonorable discharge for that. And a dishonorable discharge is like being a convicted felon. You lose your civil rights.
Wow.
Okay, so a white man who uses a prostitute in Korea, dishonorable discharge. But if you're black, well, that's your culture. That's fine. We have to respect your culture.
Unreal.
Well, what is that really about? What the whole feminist thing, the Me Too thing, the sexual harassment thing, what that is all about is encouraging white people not to mate. They're discouraging sex and people getting together in the white race, okay, because it does not apply to the other races.
Look what the bioweapons are doing to our young women, women of breeding age,
they're sterilizing them.
Destroying them. And men now finding that sperm counts are down to virtually zero. Dr. Arne Burkhardt in Germany found zero, absolutely zero sperm in two males who died after the shots. Nothing. Zero. They're finished.
Yeah.
This is massive sterilization in addition to massive murder. It's murder is what it is. They're doing.
I mean, you know, they're actually still arguing about where this virus came from. I mean, they've sort of admitted that it came from the lab in Wuhan, but they're saying, well, it was an accidental release. There's no accident about this release. The COVID epidemic had one purpose and one purpose alone. It was to create fear, to create an authoritarian police state in this country, okay, so that they could engineer. They murdered a million Americans so the Democratic Party could win the election. A million Americans they did for that. These are your leaders, people. These are the people sitting in Washington, D.C. They hate your guts. They want you dead. They are not here for you, by you, or of you. They are a separate entity.
Yeah.
That's just all there is to it.
No, that's all there is to it. You're 100% right. Wow. What a scene. Go ahead. This is crazy.
Yeah, and the last time I had read the Lubavitch or Schneerson's prophecy about Ukraine.
Yes. Yes.
This is very intentional. It's real. It took me a long time to find out what what Judaism was presented to us as, okay, as some moral big thing. But you have to remember that what Zionism is, it is Judaism without God. If you look at Israel, 65% of the people in Israel are atheists. Israel is not a Jewish state. It is an atheist state, okay? I just don't know how to... The propaganda that they have piled on for so many years is so thick and so heavy. I mean, I remember going to church and them saying, oh, whoever blesses Israel, God will bless them. Oh, God is going to bless the people that murdered his child? You know, I mean, the Jewish people committed deicide.
None of it makes sense. It's all wacky if you honestly look at it instead of just do what you're told. Getting word now that Bakhmut has been encircled.
They finally closed the gap. Okay, I was looking this morning at the reports, and they had not quite got there yet.
It's a big defeat for the Ukrainians. This is War News 24/7. The Russian tongs have closed. Bakhmut was surrounded. The Russians raised flags in the center of the city. And I'm going to put that up, add that to the top of headlines.
Very good. Yeah. Well, what people should realize too is that for this entire year, what they were trying to do is, like I said, the Ukrainians dug in for 8 years there, and digging into your troops makes it very hard to get them out. Okay, I always like this story. It's a battle of Chip Yongni in Korea. They had two adjacent American battalions. One battalion commander made his troops dig trenches and foxholes all day in protective positions, and the other one let his men relax, and they did not dig in. That night, the Chinese waves of attacks came on, and the battalion that did not dig in, they were wiped out. The battalion that dug in barely lost a man. And that's just to illustrate the power of digging in. Okay, I mean, World War I was all about digging in, and this was a steel line for 4 years. You know, so they're very hard. No matter how much war material you pour in, two things are hard. It's hard to take a dug in position, and it's hard to fight in the city. What they call military operations on urban terrain. It's very hard to do. Okay, you're going to lose a lot of people doing this kind of thing. So you know, you have to keep in mind that the Russians are not interested in throwing their soldiers' lives away. Russia values the lives of its people. You know, it wants more people. It gives mothers awards for, I think, once you hit 7 kids, you get an award. You get a medal from the state. And you're honored for having seven children.
Here's a video I just got showing, this is, there's several Wagner fighters in the middle of the city with their flag. Mm-hmm. One's holding a guitar, I guess, to kind of have a little fun with the nickname they have, the musicians. So the musicians have taken the center of Bakhmut. They have led the fight almost all the way. These are extraordinary, almost mythical now, private military company fighters, and they're just doing a remarkable job. And the Russian military is equal to the task, of course, but it's the Wagnerians, so to speak, who are really pushing, and they did it. They've closed the gap.
Well, the reason why they're using the Wagner Group is the way the Russian army works is you generally get conscripted and you have to do a couple of years.
Right.
And then after that, if you want to continue on, you become a contract soldier for the Russian army. Okay, it's not a contract like... It's really like just re-enlisting to be a non-commissioned officer or something.
Yeah.
So it's the same as us, but after your initial couple of years, then you can sign contracts and become NCOs and stuff. Well, of course, you know, any conscripted army has pretty low pay. Okay, so what a lot of these guys do is they are former NCOs. Non-commissioned officers, sorry, that's like sergeants and stuff, okay? They leave the Russian army to go to Wagner Group because they get paid more money in Wagner Group. These are not sloppy mercenaries, hodgepodge of people. These are well-qualified, experienced soldiers, and most of them have been to war, you know? They have fought the fight. And the Wagner Group is so well, has such a good reputation that the United States declared them a criminal organization. But in Africa, like the Central African Republic and Nigeria, they kicked the French out and asked the Russians to come in with the Wagner Group to solve their problem. And of course, the Wagner Group comes in and they take care of the problem. They recently, Burkina Faso kicked the French out, and their complaint was the French were actually creating the terrorists, creating the Islamic terrorists, and preying upon the country because it's the same pattern, Jeff, the same pattern of destabilization. You go in, you destabilize the country, and then you come and say, hey, we'll help you. But they're not really helping. They'll keep the war going so that you will obey them and do what they say. That's what a destabilization operation is about. That's what we tried to do in Russia. When Yeltsin was there in 94, we sent guns and money to Chechnya to start a nasty war there, a terrible war. And, they made some arrangements with them. Everything was kind of calmed down. And by 99, when Putin came in, well, the United States wanted to control Putin. So what did they do? They started the crap up in Chechnya again. Okay, but only this time Putin came in, and he's really not a politician. He's a guy who just does the job. Okay, and he took care of business. He flushed the Chechens out and made it stop. So let's look at this. Just consider this: did Russia have a victory against Islamic terrorists? Yes, they did. Has the United States had a victory against Islamic terrorists? No, we have not. Okay. There's nowhere where we fought them where they're not still there today. Nowhere. Okay. So if you want to pit the two armies against each other, I think part of the thing is Biden and his cronies, they kind of got embarrassed with Afghanistan, and they're desperate for a big war and a big win. The only thing is they're deluded. Well, these same people spent the past 30 years destroying our military in every way. Now they think our military is the same military that we had in 1990. But trust me, it is not the same military, not in any way, shape, or form, is it? And they're delusional if they think that we can just do whatever we want all over the world, that we have we get caught up in this, we have the biggest military in the world. And we do. We spend, of those top 10 armies, we spend as much as the other 9 armies put together on our military. But what people have to think of is spending parity, okay? In other words, you see, the United States has to pay its privates like about $2,000 a month, let's say. Well, China probably pays them about $50 a month, and Russia probably pays them a couple hundred a month, okay? So they can have more soldiers cheaper, okay? Plus, our industry, we put out bids to big companies, and those big companies actually decide what our equipment is going to be and stuff. They sell us a bill of goods is what they do. And politicians get money in their pocket to send money their way. Okay, so the way it goes in China and Russia is their defense industries are owned by the government. Okay, and what they do is they don't have to do all this gamesmanship, bribes, and driving costs up. They can just focus on what they're doing. So like an American tank costs 10 times as much as a Russian tank or a Chinese tank.
It's such a our whole military industrial complex is so fraught with criminal behavior. It's unbelievable. The fleecing, the looting of America continues, right, and perhaps most blatantly by the military-industrial complex. And whatever is shipped to Ukraine gets looted the same way, but in the inverse. They just pick it off and sell it.
Well, and here's something that I witnessed myself. I actually fought against this in the Army. I was an armored cavalry officer back in the 80s and the 90s. And what I saw them do is they wanted to put all this electronics, this digital electronics in tanks and in APCs. Yeah. And I was trying to reason with my fellow officers that were armored cavalry officers, and I said, do you remember the course we had on Soviet radio-electronic warfare? I said, this electronics is going to be gone in 60 seconds. There will be no blue force tracker or red force tracker if we're fighting the Soviets or the Chinese, well, the Russians and the Chinese now. We're not going to have any of that, you know? It's all going to be gone very fast. And even our, I'm talking about electronics, not just in the tanks, but all the electronics. They sold us all these computers, computer programs, electronics and stuff, which is so vulnerable to electronic warfare. It's totally vulnerable. But they just ignored it. And because it was big money for the tech companies, the tech companies that want to give you digital ID and control your life, they took your money from you to spend on electronic development in the military, which would be of no use whatsoever, but they got contracts for trillions of dollars over the years and sold us a complete bill of goods, okay? Today, in the U.S. Army, in a division, you have one company of electronic warfare people. So a division is about 10,000 people, and a company is 200 people. So we have one company, 200 men per 10,000 to do electronic warfare for us. Well, what about in a Russian division? In a Russian division, it's different. Their division is still 10,000 people, but they have 2,500 troops in a radio electronic brigade. So they take electronic warfare so much more seriously than we do because they know that they can cripple all of our communications and electronics. Okay? We've even been getting rid of, they finally started getting rid of we used to have like on our tracks and APCs and stuff, we would have radios with tube technology in it because their radio electronic warfare wouldn't work against it. Right. Well, now we just put digital stuff in there. You know, computer, silicon
instant
chips.
Instant trash with an EMP. I don't think they can harden
trash.
All of it. No. I just don't think so.
Nope. It'll be gone. I actually, when I took my soldiers out, my platoon out to do maneuvers and stuff, I taught them to fight without the radio.
Smart man.
And My company commander came to me and said, well, why are you, you know, how come I don't hear you guys talking and stuff? And I said, well, because the enemy will hear us talking. In real life, the enemy will hear us talking. They'll know we'll come. And I said, we're armored cavalry. Our job is to go seek out the enemy and force him to deploy. Okay? So I said, when we find the enemy tanks, they'll want to know that we are there when the first saber round destroys the first enemy tank. That's when they'll know we're present.
Yes.
They're not going to know from the radio that we're there.
No. One thing that's not being talked about much is the Russians have zeroed in on endless Ukrainian tanks, armored columns, positions, command and control headquarters by listening to the cell phone chatter of the troops.
Oh, yeah. They've even
they get the coordinates
troop
exact.
Concentrations by listening to the cell phones.
That's right. Well, there you go. You got it.
Yep.
All right, Mitch.
Yep.
We'll see what happens between now and next Monday. It's happening quickly, so stay in touch.
Oh, yeah.
I just sent you that Bakhmut Wagner musicians raving their flag story. So you got.
Oh,
that.
Cool. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for taking the time to do this so well. Talk to you soon. You be well.
Okay. Thank you. Bye bye.
Okay. Good night. Okay, Mitchell Henderson. And we'll have this story up in his columnist section right away. Thank you for being here on this Thursday, tomorrow Friday. Another week. Where did it go? My goodness. Back tomorrow in 21 hours. Talk to you then.